Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the live Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz here along with Michael Wiseman, who, as you can tell, is very, very excited. First time we've done this where we're actually going on immediately following Raw. So
that's crazy, man. My life, it's all discombobulated now.
Yeah,
everything is crazy.
Well, we just wanted to shake it up this week, and you know, it's a big week. We've got the final Raw before SummerSlam, and we're going to talk about that event as well. Thanks everybody for watching us live and joining in. We do have the chat room going as you watch this broadcast, so feel free to take part in that. While you're here watching us on YouTube, please subscribe to us. Also, please like our videos, share them. Feel free to make comments. Of course, check us out at BetweenTheRopes.com as well, and follow us on Twitter as well as on Facebook. And a special thanks to everybody that is supporting us on Patreon, and you can find that at Patreon.com/BetweenTheRopes. So, Roger,
that means you. Special thanks to you. Wait, you're not supporting us on Patreon? You should, and then we'll special thanks you, whatever that means. So,
right
there we go.
Well,
that was good, Wiseman.
Sure.
Pat on the back.
Yeah, and I mean, this is you not even drinking, which is amazing, because normally I'd ask you, what are you drinking right now? But
beer! Crap!
Go get something to drink, man. Otherwise, you're not going to be stable. You're not going to make it. I can't believe that you're still awake at this time of night, quite honestly, much less doing a live broadcast. So,
oh, man. Woo. That was a close one.
So, what do you got there?
Well, you know what they say, in desperate times call for desperate measures. And uh-oh, since it was a desperate time, got to go for it, man. It was the first thing I could get my hands on in a short amount of time that I had for the show. So
not even a Coors Light? You had to go Miller Light.
There's probably a Coors Light in there somewhere, too.
See, I figured that you would go Coors Light because, you know, back in the day, they used to be the drink of one Stone Cold Steve Austin, I believe, who is your favorite wrestler of all time, and a man who will now be at the WWE 2K16 video party this Thursday night, which you are going to be at.
Wait, Austin's going to be there?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Stone
what? Cold. Stone Cold. Stone Cold.
What?
Yeah, Austin's going to be there, man.
What?
I'm serious, dude. Stone Cold's going to be there.
Okay. That's awesome. I'm super excited. And just for the record, Austin didn't drink Coors Light. He drank Steve Weiser's.
I saw some Coors Light in his hands plenty of occasions on that show.
I'm fairly certain.
I saw the silver bullet in his hand, okay?
Okay, well, I'm fairly certain when Austin came back for one of his appearances in the mid-2000s, maybe it was the late 2000s, he had a Natty Light. Not that that's much better. It's probably much worse, actually.
You can't mistake the silver can of the Coors Light, okay?
Have you seen a Natty Light? It's like the exact same thing. Exact same color can.
It's got a little bit more white in it, but I digress. So let's...
God, you know your Natty Light there, huh?
Yeah, sure. Well, I don't drink any of that crap. Let's talk a little bit about Raw, which just got done just a few minutes ago. It's the final show before SummerSlam, obviously. So a lot of it was built up towards, you know, the big event coming up on Sunday. I did find it curious, and I understand a lot of the different things that they're doing. They can't really advance storylines too much because they've already got all of SummerSlam laid out. They did add one match to the show, which we'll get to. But that final segment was quite the curious segment, and that was the return of Brock Lesnar home to Minneapolis. He went to the University of Minnesota, or that's part of his collegiate career, where he obviously was the NCAA amateur wrestling champion. So it was like a homecoming. And it's funny because, so when they started this storyline between Lesnar and Taker, it was all about Taker was ticked that Lesnar and Heyman were bragging about ending the streak, and they kept bringing it up and up and up. But when Taker got his hands first on Lesnar, you know, with a low blow. And then since then, you're thinking, okay, Lesnar's going to be the heel. They'll kind of gloss over that. Taker will be the baby face. Not tonight. You're in Brock's territory, so we got the homecoming. Hell, they dropped confetti from the ceiling for the man, okay? And he's out there with a smirk. Paul Heyman's out there singing his praises and, you know, auditioning for American Idol or whatever. And everybody's all cheery. And then what happens? Taker comes out. Once again, a low blow onto Brock Lesnar. Choke slams him to a chorus of boos. And then as Lesnar has the smirk on his face, like, oh, wait till I turn around. I get my one uppets on him. No, Taker gets him with a tombstone piledriver and leaves him laying as Taker poses to end the show. I found it very curious that they even had the two guys touch more or less than Taker, you know, beating up Brock Lesnar on the final show before their epic rematch at SummerSlam. And on top of that, Taker got booed. So I guess going into this, I don't know if it's just going to be a Minnesota thing or not, but going into it, the way that we look right now, Taker is the heel.
So I was going to say, was that a double turn? I mean, Brock Lesnar's kind of been a babyface for a while now, and they kind of tried to veer him back, but he never really went back to being a heel.
Right.
And Taker was very obviously the heel tonight. That low blow you mentioned, that's a heel move. He just kicked him right in the groin.
Well, I guess the story is supposed to be that Taker is so desperate for revenge on Lesnar ending the streak that he's willing to do anything and everything that he has to do to get that revenge. Now, here's the thing, okay? When they first met at WrestleMania, and I understand that Taker was the babyface and Lesnar was the heel going into that match, Lesnar beat him fair and square. In the middle of the ring. He did not cheat. He did not take a shortcut. He did not do anything dastardly. He beat the man fair and square in the middle of the ring. But now Taker feels like he has to resort to these tactics to get his revenge.
I think it's curious because also Brock Lesnar was so sympathetic, not just because he was in front of that crowd, but because he was laid out. And anybody that wanted to see Undertaker get his revenge, they pretty much saw it tonight. Undertaker laid out Brock Lesnar, the unstoppable Brock Lesnar, in front of his hometown crowd. That is babyface revenge right there. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen this Sunday. And right now, I think Brock Lesnar's got a pretty good shot of walking away with the win.
I do too. You know, it's funny because I thought all along that Undertaker was going to win that match. But now the way you look at it, like, okay, if he got beat up on this show, does that mean Lesnar wins come Sunday at SummerSlam? And by the way, how foolish were all of us? How did we not know? Because we know the pattern when it comes to WWE. When you're in your hometown, you don't get to leave with your head held high. No. You end up face down in the middle of the ring. And that's exactly what happened with Lesnar tonight. How did we not see this coming?
True. Classic WWE. And classic WWE states that the law of opposites is in effect. And the law of opposites states that Brock Lesnar got laid out the show before the pay-per-view, which means he'll win at the pay-per-view.
Did you also feel a bad sign if you are somebody that was rooting for Seth Rollins going into his match on Sunday against John Cena, because Rollins is bragging on the show about how not only is he going to beat Cena, but he wants the authority to build him a statue like some of the other greats that have statues at WWE headquarters. People like Andre the Giant or Bruno Sammartino or the Ultimate Warrior. And they're like, sure, we'll do it if you beat John Cena on Sunday. So to me, that just screams to me that Rollins is not going to win. Now, I hope that one thing they do not do, and some people have said this or wondered about this, is the fact that since that match is not going on last, maybe they do a false finish. Maybe they do something where it's a DQ or count out or whatever. They don't, and both guys keep their respective championships, which I do not want to see. It's a huge show. I want a real finish. I do not want a disqualification. I do not want a count out. I think that on big shows like this, those kinds of things should not happen. And one way or another, somebody should emerge from that match as the winner.
So I don't think they could get away with that at this show. I know people are predicting it. They were predicting it 2 years ago when Randy Orton and John Cena were going up against one another to unify the world titles. I just don't see WWE pulling that card for such a big show. It's going to be on SportsCenter. It's going to be all over the place. Now, I think that John Cena is likely to win only because it's record-breaking and WWE is trying so hard right now to sell how big SummerSlam is and really make it that WrestleMania of the summer. On the other hand, that whole Seth Rollins segment you were talking about where the possibility of him getting his own statue was brought up and all that stuff, that could make for fun TV. And the only way that fun TV happens is if Seth Rollins retains his championship and wins the U.S. title. So in my mind, that opens up a sliver of hope that, you know, they plan on following up continuity-wise with that thread next Monday. Seth Rollins retains his title, wins the U.S. title in some fluky fashion on Sunday. And then come Monday night, we get some shenanigans with Seth Rollins in WWE headquarters at Stanford, you know, talking about the statue and posing. I don't know, something fun with that. But I don't think it precludes him from possibly winning the championship. I still think John Cena does it, but consider this. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. That's the other side of your main event equation at SummerSlam. So if Brock Lesnar is going in as the babyface and he does win, I think that does open the door for Seth Rollins to possibly retain his title, because then you'll have a babyface win and a heel win in your co-main event.
Well, that's as long as the crowd does react to Lesnar as the heel. Because I think... Taker as the heel, excuse me. And we'll see, I mean, what that crowd reaction is going to be like in Brooklyn, because it's kind of an old school, you know, that's the hub of WWE, and they've always loved The Undertaker. So I don't know what the reaction is going to be. That's going to be very interesting, you know, and see how that all plays out. And, I mean, I like that idea you're talking about, but it's just, I don't know, it's just weird the way that some things got brought up and the way that we look into it going, okay, we see this, but how are they going to do it to that, you know, and just kind of seeing how the pieces have fallen in the past and trying to equate it to this show. It's kind of fascinating to see where all it's going to go. And, you know, here's the one other thing I want to mention too, because we talk about, you know, we think, you know, maybe Lesnar is going to win this. I've been saying that I thought Taker was going to get the win back and maybe they would do the third match between them at WrestleMania next year. The curious thing is going to be what happens next if Brock Lesnar beats Taker again. Is this the end for The Undertaker? What could they do with him next? Would they still do a third match between them at WrestleMania again? It building up like, okay, you got me here, but can you do it there? I mean, that's going to be the interesting thing. Where do they go with this if Taker does not get the win?
So if Taker does not win, he has a retirement match next year at WrestleMania. This is it. This 6 month period is it for him. Even walking around in the ring tonight, you can just tell he's not there. I mean, he's there physically, mentally, but it's just his timing and everything. It's just off now. So I think that if he loses on Sunday, he still has a retirement match at WrestleMania. Against what opponent, I don't know, but I don't think it will be Brock Lesnar. I think if he does win on Sunday, I think your possibility is correct of a trifecta being completed at WrestleMania, the rubber match happening. Again, I think it's a retirement match, and I guess he'll probably win that one too. But I can see them doing something where they put him with somebody else in a retirement match and they end the Brock Lesnar storyline this coming Sunday. I think it's a possibility.
Here's the other thing that they could do. I mean, I've always thought that the final match for Taker before he retires, he needs to face John Cena at WrestleMania. And I don't know if that's the direction that they're going to. And like I said, who knows? Maybe Taker says, hey, I'm feeling good right now. Let's do this right now. Okay. Or maybe, you know, and I'm going to retire at SummerSlam. I don't think so, but, you know, never say never when it comes to these guys. I think that he feels like if I really had to look into the tea leaves, this is my final year. Okay. So let me do SummerSlam. Let me do WrestleMania. And then that will be that. But it's just curious that this late in the game, whether he does retire WrestleMania, or even if it's a year past that, that's this late in the game, and they have seemingly turned Undertaker heel at this point in his career, which you would have never thought would happen.
So we could always go in with this thinking it's going to be face or heel, but WWE could be treating it like they're both somewhat independent at this point. They're both icons too big. It's kind of like what they did with John Cena and The Rock a few years ago, where John Cena still acted like babyface, but it was very obvious due to the crowd's reaction, he was a heel. So it still let John Cena come back out the next week as the babyface they wanted him to be. He didn't lose any momentum, didn't lose any steam, but for that one match, or for those two matches in sequential years, he was... John Cena was the heel, essentially. But either way, I think we're reading too much into it almost, you know?
Probably. And you know, the funny thing is, too, that if you start talking to some of the talent, and especially to guys like Triple H and everything, they'll tell you, oh, I don't know if we really have baby faces and heels anymore. We use that terminology, and there's some shades of that. But in today's day and age, that doesn't really happen as much as you think. We like to think that our characters are either way. Some people like John Cena. Some people don't. Some people cheer for the New Day. Some people don't. So they'll look at it in those lines. You know, even with Seth Rollins, he's doing this promo tonight. And at one point, you kind of feel like, hey, man, I can root for this guy because I don't like John Cena and some of these things he's saying. He's talking about Cena being a disease and he is the cure. But then in the same breath, he starts making fun of the hometown team, and everybody there hates him, and a lot of people at home probably hate him as well. So there's all these different shades of gray kind of thing that's going on there.
I guess I would buy into that mentality more, that we really don't have faces and heels if WWE didn't go out of its way to overtly treat certain guys like faces and heels. If, like you're saying, if they gave these guys genuine shades of gray and they let us decide, I might would buy it. But so many of the characters they have nowadays come across as caricatures. I just have a hard time believing that WWE really considers these guys, you know, indiscriminate objects, not singular faces or singular heels. I don't buy that for half a second.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Rollins and Cena, because I really like both of their promos. Rollins came out there and he was really, you know, heating it up. And then you had John Cena come out there. He took offense to some of the stuff that Rollins said. He turned the whole thing into, hey, you know what? See this gear that I'm wearing right now? See this hat? It says 15-time world champion. Well, guess what? I did this because I didn't think I was going to get a world championship match anytime soon. That's why I designed this. But now I'm going to face you. And because I got tired of you and I want to shut you up. So now if I do this, if I win the world championship, which I'm going to, that means I'm going to tie Ric Flair. And that is Triple H's mentor. And Hunter just happens to be standing there. So he turns the whole thing into that argument, which is something that a lot of times WWE does not do, and I understand that. But I think for this situation and the magnitude of it, and almost everybody knows about Ric Flair, 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. It's not just something that super smart fans know about. This is something that's been ingrained in the fans. So I think it makes sense that they turn the whole thing into that. And I'll say this, you throw that in there with the historic aspect as a little cherry on top. But before this, you know, you look at this matchup, and I think people were, you know, it wasn't like they were down on it, but but it wasn't like amped up. But a couple of things happened along the way that really made it more exciting. You could say champion versus champion. That definitely has, and it's made us think a lot about it. But quite honestly, the thing that's really amped us up is the broken nose.
Yeah.
Without that, you wonder where would they be right now? But now they have something that is real and you can base it off of. Unfortunately, Cena guy's nose smashed into smithereens, but now they can use that as part of the storyline.
I got to give hats off to both of those guys tonight. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar definitely had probably the segment of the night overall, just because that hometown crowd was hot. But I think that John Cena and Seth Rollins went out there and had the promo battle of the evening and gave us the best promos of the night. John Cena, he really gave us that. He did a little bit of his preacher man gimmick, but he really gave us some intensity. But what he did that I liked was he put the focus back on Seth Rollins in a really important way. And Seth Rollins cut a really good promo before and John Cena even came out, you know, teasing him, teasing the crowd like you mentioned. But what John Cena did was this. He gave us a reason to care about this match. From his perspective, he wanted us to buy in if you're a John Cena fan because you want to see him win the belt back and break Ric Flair's record and basically bring good and holiness and puppies back to the universe, okay? But he also said this. He
Jerry
said,
Lawler would be pretty excited about that.
Puppies! not that kind of puppies, man. He put the focus back on Seth Rollins too, though. And what he said was, Seth Rollins, you've got something to prove that you haven't proved yet. And it's the exact same thing internet fans have been complaining about for months, ever since Seth Rollins has had this title. He gave us both sides, both internet fans and casual fans, both Seth Rollins fans and John Cena fans, he gave us buy-in because Seth Rollins is now also trying to prove, I deserve to be here. I am a legitimate contender. And I think that's a really interesting thread to bite into as a fan right now. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I really like that dynamic. I still think John Cena is going to win, but that was a great way to give everybody a reason to care about this match come Sunday.
Yeah, we'll give some predictions before we end this. By the way, if you're watching us live right now, we've got the chat room going on YouTube. So feel free to leave some questions there, and we'll get to some as we go along here. As for the rest of the show, let's talk about some of this. I was very surprised when they announced, I guess I shouldn't have been, that they're actually going to do a match, non-title match, between the WWE Divas Champion, Nikki Bella, against the NXT Women's Champion, Sasha Banks. And they did this. At one point, though, Alicia Fox jumped up on the apron. She distracted Nikki, and Sasha took advantage of it, got her finisher in, and next thing you know, Nikki was tapping out, so Sasha Banks got the win. And then also earlier on the show, we saw Becky Lynch get a tap out win against Tamina. So the NXT women continue to get victories on TV, unless you're Charlotte, which is kind of weird that she's got a loss in there, but they're really trying to push the NXT women a lot. I'm just, you know, they're doing this, you know, 9-woman, 3-team tag match at SummerSlam, but yet they did this, the two champions facing each other on Raw, which I get, but at the same time, it almost feels like, shouldn't that be the important thing that happens at SummerSlam?
Yeah, but they're so bent on doing, I agree, they're so bent on doing this multi-divas match. They think that's the bee's knees, I guess, as they would say in
the bee's knees.
But I just, it's weird the way they booked this. And I didn't like they put that segment so close to the end of the show. The fans weren't into it. They were ready for Brock Lesnar and Undertaker.
There were fans on Twitter that were going nuts about going, oh, my God, they're putting the women's match. You know, last is going to be the last match on the show. And then there was another contingent going, people, stop it. It's the final match on the show. They're not in the main event of the show. That is going to be Taker and Lesnar and Heyman. So there was this, like, Twitter war going on between fans about, you know, they're putting the women on the main event. No, they're not. You know, they're just the final match.
I think it would have been beautiful if they had put that match on and just ended afterwards. Michael Cole says, well, Brock, we don't have time for Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. Tune in on Sunday to catch them both. That would have been beautiful.
If Cena and Rollins had kept going, they wouldn't have had time because that segment went long. Okay.
That's true.
I mean, they did the tag match after that. And
you know what else we could have done without? That would have saved the Divas a little bit of time tonight. That terrible, terrible, cheesy 90s purple and smoky and camera angled up Undertaker promo at about the 45 minute mark. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen. And it wasn't, I mean, the Undertaker's words were kind of cheesy, but it was just delivered. The camera work. Ugh.
I was waiting for like the boogeyman to appear or something.
Yeah, sure. It was cheesy. It reminded me of that night on SmackDown where Teddy Long was attacked by the Undertaker in a limo when all this smoke came up. It just reeks of like mid-90s cheesiness.
Where's Papa Shango when you need him?
That's right. I just think they tried to do, my opinion is this. I like the fact that, again, we had two Diva segments, and I have no issue that Sasha Banks, I had no issue with it being a Divas versus Divas title match. Okay, sure. Whatever. But it seemed like they were trying to do too much of this little gameplay type stuff and pad a lot of segments with these matches on a go-home show. And I wish it just made the show feel long. And I think that match didn't mean as much as a result.
Well, I think one of the things that, if I really want to nitpick about Raw, is that it's one of the things that I understand they've got 3 hours to fill. And you've got SummerSlam coming up on Sunday. But so many times, like in every match, it feels like the guys are going to be squaring off on SummerSlam. While they're not having the same match they're going to have on that pay-per-view, they're touching. They're having, you know, they're meeting in the middle of the ring at some point on Raw. And it's like, shouldn't this be saved until Sunday? Couldn't we do some other things and preserve those matches and make sure not maybe a couple guys get involved, but you're not having matches involving those guys, you know, yeah. And keeping that special, because what did we get to see? We saw these tag matches that included people. We saw these singles matches that did and stuff. I'm thinking, isn't there not a creative way where you can have these other matches and still keep everything solid? I mean, it's just the formula that they have right now. I'm not saying it's a failure, but I just wonder, could that work a little bit better to protect people and get people more excited about SummerSlam's coming, and you're not going to see them meet. They're not going to fight until that show. And that's one of the things that disappointed me the most about the main event. I don't want to see Lesnar and Undertaker fight. We saw that weeks ago. And they had to be, you know, it was this huge, incredible brawl that took everybody in the locker room, including Kevin Owens, to keep them apart. And on the final show before SummerSlam, Taker appears and easily beats up Brock Lesnar.
I don't know. Okay. So I'm going to agree with you up until that final segment, because I think that holding people off, for the most part, works better. But I like the way that final segment gave us a little bit more intrigue. It showed Brock Lesnar being vulnerable, which we haven't seen a whole lot of. Of course, it took an Undertaker sneak attack. But again, Brock Lesnar has been built up so much as being this beast, and he defied the streak. So I was okay with that. Overall, though, I think your philosophy is right. And I think that there was way too much touching, and I'm going to say this, I know this flies in the face of what some people think, way too many clean finishes over people who need to look strong going into the pay-per-view. Mm. So that's where I have an issue, is you can't make everybody who needs to look good this Sunday lose tonight. And you got to come up with more creative ways to handle segments other than putting people on the microphone. God, does everybody come out now and guest announce a segment? Like, what is, like, this is not the WWE Michael Cole tryout segments, right? Come up with more creative ways to handle your talent other than clean finish matches and guest hosting on the announce booth.
Well, you know, Big Show did have to plug his big movie with Dean Cain, you know, with Superman.
I was excited about that one now. Dean Cain? Heck yeah, sign me up.
The best guest announcer that we've had in a long time, though, Dean Ambrose.
Yes.
Dean came out there. It was on fire. Like, they did the teaser before they began the match, and they went to commercial break. And he, I can't remember what he said, but JBL looked almost frightened. Like, this man is out of control, and we just started this. I don't know what to expect. And then they come back from break, and Ambrose is sitting all the way on the other side by Byron Saxton. And so basically what they did was they had Bray Wyatt out there during this match as well, but he was sitting in a chair far away from the announcers, wasn't on the broadcast or anything. Ambrose is next to Saxton, but they were out of chairs. So Byron Saxton was on his knees broadcasting. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did not notice that.
Byron Saxton is tall enough where the dude was on his knees and Ambrose had his chair.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's the greatest thing ever.
So let's run down the show from the beginning real quick. Just some of the other things that we haven't talked about yet. So they actually began the show with the Authority in the ring, and they ran down the entire card, which I'm for. I think the announcers should do that, though, and not people in the ring. And it seemed like they were going very slow and very deliberate, because you can only see this on the WWE Network for $9.99. So now, mind you, later they contradict themselves saying you can't get it on pay-per-view. It just costs $54.99. Because we know that now because JBL has his flashcards that he broke out for a second time. So,
by the way, which I'm going to bring a flashcard to Sunday and just hold up $9.99 signs all night because that seems like that's who we're cheering for now. So that's
$9.99 or Cesaro section.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Cesaro section. Now, here's the thing that I understand where WWE's coming from. They want to promote the network. They want to get their numbers up. But at the same time, there are people that cannot get the WWE network because they can't get good enough internet where they live. And they have to, if they want to see SummerSlam, they have to get it on pay-per-view. They have to pay the $54.99 to watch it. So,
and they're mocking these guys. You morons. Come on, Moggle. $9.99. If you don't pay $9.99, you're a moron. Ain't that right, Moggle?
You just like Miss T, you're a damn fool. Yeah, I know. So, but I mean, they did that. They announced, they talked about the announcement that was made earlier today. Jon Stewart is going to be the guest host of SummerSlam. Which I'm all for.
His first hosting gig since leaving the Daily Show. It's beautiful. It's awesome.
My wife was sitting there as she was reading while I was watching the show. And I mentioned to her, I go, you know, Jon Stewart's going to be on there. And somehow we got into this conversation where she said, okay, who would you like to meet this weekend? Would it be, you know, and I said, oh, you mean like any of the wrestlers or whatever? And I go, no, I go, if I could meet anybody, I want to meet Jon Stewart above any of the wrestlers. I'd love to meet Jon. And then I'd get in his face and go, why the hell did you quit the Daily Show, man? I'm lost without you.
I don't understand national politics right now. None of it makes sense without your guiding wisdom.
Damn it, Stuart. You're gone. Colbert is gone. And John Oliver, he's only doing one night a week. What the hell am I supposed to do?
So I will say this. If you're talking about best people to meet this weekend,
yeah,
obviously Austin just skyrocketed to the top of my list.
That's a pretty good chance. I think you're going to meet Stone Cold.
I mean, even if I don't normally nerd out over pictures.
What if you could share a beer with Stone Cold?
Oh my God, dear God, that would be the highlight of my life. No offense.
You want to buy Stone Cold a beer if we have that opportunity? Make sure it's an IPA, okay? Because that's his drink of choice.
I want to like bring an IPA. I want to bring like a North Carolina IPA with me.
Six pack.
So can we use the whole line like, hey Stone Cold, I know Brian Fritz deleted your podcast last year.
I didn't delete it. Okay,
he did. Brian Fritz,
he did not hit the pause button. He paused it one time, and then he did not hit pause again. It started again.
Okay,
mind you, Stone Cold still owes me a podcast. Like, okay, come on, our podcast.
Hey, we'll share a beer and talk a little wrestling, and then we'll make it a podcast. Okay, so. You know me, we went to WrestleMania and took some pictures with some people. I didn't really nerd out that hardcore over any of the pictures. I got a picture with Charlotte I was pretty excited about.
Yeah.
But
after I introduced the two of you and made the connection.
Right. Matchmaker. Yeah, there you go. You still deleted Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. Anyway, I think the bigger thing is that if I could get a picture with Austin, I might nerd out a little bit more. I just might.
You know, last year at SummerSlam, a couple of days before, I did happen to meet Stone Cold and take a picture with him. So,
like, that's like the one, like, you understand this would be like achievement in my life. Like, I'm talking about going back to little 13-year-old Mikey back in the day on the playground. He would be looking forward to this moment and just sheer unadulterated joy.
Now, if I took Jon Stewart out of the equation, okay, and it came down to you can meet any wrestler, and if anybody wants to comment on this, feel free. We've got the chat room going. What wrestler would you want to meet? To me, I want to meet Lesnar.
Are you excluding Austin from this equation?
I've already met Austin, so.
Okay.
Well, I haven't. I would love to meet Lesnar. I'd probably pee my pants a little bit, but I'd love to meet Brock Lesnar.
Oh,
okay. I've actually interviewed Brock before his first MMA fight, not UFC, but the fight he did out in California for, was it Affliction? I think that's who it was, but I got to talk to him before that. Somehow I got connected the right way. And I talked to Lesnar for like 20 minutes, one day. But I've never met Brock.
Okay. I could go for Brock. I mean, Austin would be my top choice. I think I don't know. That's a tough one. On that list of people, can we count Stephen Amell now? Does he count as a wrestler? I'd like to meet him.
That would be interesting to meet Stephen.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
We'll guess see if he can come around to the 2K event. Who knows?
There we go. We'll see. Maybe they can put him in the game next year. Wouldn't that be awesome? His skin, yeah. He has like a Green Arrow outfit.
Probably. By the way, somebody's already saying in the chat room, and this makes a lot of sense. Isn't it a foregone conclusion that Jon Stewart is the celebrity that goes into the Hall of Fame next year?
He said 2019.
Well, just 2019. I could see 2016.
You think next year? That could happen.
Why not?
Could happen.
I mean, what other celebrity do they got waiting in the wings that they're going to put in there right now?
They pull people out of a hat.
Oh, I know.
Maria Menounos in there yet? She's got to go in sometime soon.
She will. She will.
Michelle Beadle. Jonathan Coachman will go in the celebrity wing.
Beadle's done with wrestling.
Oh, that's, yeah. Well, she says that now. Wait till WrestleMania comes back and her.
Oh, yeah. Her and her boyfriend will be there wearing their Jim Ross t-shirt everywhere going, woo!
Don't you support Floyd Mayweather? But
so last night I went to this dinner and I met this guy and this guy and this guy. And I'm going to go in there. I'm going to meet this guy and this guy. Man, I am going backstage at WrestleMania and I'm going to take a picture with everybody. Oh, wait. That conversation did happen. So, and you know what? I'm not picking on her and I don't blame her one bit. I mean, if you have that opportunity and she's a huge fan, go for it. But just now she says she's not a wrestling fan. So we'll see if she changes her mind or not. And you know what? If she does change her mind, good for her. You know, I don't want to, we've all had our moments of doubt about different things, whether it's wrestling or not. So if she wants to go back and be a fan, come on back, be a fan, you know?
I mean, yeah, thought that'd be forever, but
right. So
good honor. I mean, I support her. Good honor.
So they did that segment. They did Sheamus and Kevin Owens against Randy Orton and Cesaro. I found it interesting that now all of a sudden it's like the announcers are being given these lines for Cesaro, who got the hot tag and was just handing out uppercuts left and right to Sheamus. And they did this big thing like, wow, everybody's getting behind Cesaro and look at the excitement that he's bringing to the ring, you know, which, you know, totally contradicts what they said in the past about he was boring and everything. There was only one small flub at the end of the match where he was just to go over the ropes and land on the apron and he got hung up. But other than that, match was pretty good. And RKO, Randy Orton was able to, who was it on? I'm sorry. It was on Sheamus.
Sheamus.
So,
yeah.
So Orton got the win.
Yeah. That's fine. It was an opening match. There you go.
Yeah. I was surprised because, I mean, Sheamus and Randy Orton are facing each other at SummerSlam. So you would think that maybe you'd get a guy that's involved in the other match, but it didn't happen here. And by the way,
I say questionable decisions based on, you know.
Does that make you believe that Sheamus is going to win on Sunday?
Does it make you believe that Sheamus could cash in and cancel all our predictions out? You never know.
Maybe he could. Maybe that would be a way that they would get out of the whole both guys keep their belts because while they're fighting and both guys are down, Sheamus cashes in and you go, well, he's cashing in on the world championship match and then he gets pinned. But the U.S. title was not up for grabs in that. But that would end the match.
Yes, but I tend to think more.
Oh, I found an escape clause right there. I think
you're overthinking it.
No, I think,
here's what happens.
I found an escape clause.
I think you're overthinking it. I think what could happen is Sheamus cashes in. We're not doing predictions yet, but since you brought it up, Mr. Brian Fritz, Sheamus cashes in the middle of the match and takes the WWE World Heavyweight Championship home with him. And the match ends up just being for the U.S. title. I think that's kind of where it happens.
Mm. Well, we'll see what happens.
And Seth Rollins wins the U.S. title. You never know.
Hey, I already gave my prediction for what exactly is going to happen on Tough Enough on Tuesday night, okay? So, that's true. You know, I had laid that out to a T. And now I'm just, you know, offering up other things that they can do for SummerSlam that make total sense. So,
yeah, well, and since WWE listens to this show, I mean, they'll probably do it our way.
They do. I know they definitely used to. Because it would take ideas from us. Or at least ideas we came up with and we were on the same wavelength as them. We just like to act like they took it from us, whether they did or not.
Way to protect yourself there, Brian. I think WWE steals all my ideas. So I'm going to sue you.
Maybe they took one of our ideas for a storyline involving Trish Stratus. Okay. Like word for word.
somebody like one of like the low level interns is like, this would make a great scenario. And he sends it up the chain and they're like, where'd you come up with this? I just off the top of my head.
Right.
Mr. Man's like, give that intern a promotion.
I will say this. Okay. I have it on very good authority that back in the day, WWE would have either really low end employees or interns listen to some of the radio shows before there was real podcasts out there. Or the very few that were there. Because like very early on, we did get Between the Ropes online. If you want to call it a podcast, you can, but it was more or less just like on the website, just straight download it before iTunes and everything. And I have a very good authority from somebody in the company that said they had, like I said, a lower end employee or an intern listen to our show to take notes to see what we were talking about.
That's discussed.
Now, I think it was more just like keeping tabs and make sure we kind of behaved ourselves or, you know, are these guys really being jerks to us, you know, and we'll see what kind of, you know, give them interviews in the future. But, you know, maybe they said, you know what, this sounds like a pretty good idea. So I like to think of it that way, whether it happened or not. Let me just have that moment, okay?
You can have it.
Yeah. So Roman Reigns beat Luke Harper. That was actually a pretty good match. Like you said, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose are both out there ringside. Nobody between the two of them, nobody got involved. Nobody got physical there, so they're on their best behavior. Becky Lynch beat Tamina, the disarmer for the tap out. I thought Becky looked really good here. Tamina, I think she still needs some work in the ring.
Sure. They like her because of her size, but she's not the most technical diva.
In the match that everybody could not wait to see once again, Mark Henry defending the honor of his country, United States of America, taking on Rusev with his brand new My Face is on My Flag. Guess who won? Yeah, that's right. Rusev won again.
Are they just really this bereft of ideas? And literally at one point in the match, not to bag on Mark Henry, because I really like the guy, and I think he had some potential they've lost. But at one point in the match, he literally power slams Rusev and then picks him back up slowly. And he looks around and he does the exact same move again. Like he forgot what he was supposed to be doing in there. And I thought, what?
I don't know. But afterwards, Lana, who was on commentary, got involved with Summer Rae. And just when it looked like Rusev was going to get involved, Dolph Ziggler came down. Guess what? He's back. And Dolph went on the attack on Rusev. And then Lana kicked Summer Rae in the head. So Rusev and Summer Rae left, and that left our good guys in the ring, and they set up the match. I thought it was going to be a mixed tag match for SummerSlam, but no, it's going to be just Dolph Ziggler against Rusev.
Yep. Interesting. I'm a little
disappointed. I wanted to see the women involved in that, but
I guess they already have so many tag matches on this card. They wanted to have another singles match that had some meaning behind it. I'm disappointed, but, you know, I think it'll still be good.
They didn't stop that at WrestleMania because everybody was in a tag match almost, it felt like. They had to get everybody on the show there. They did Ryback against Miz with Big Show on commentary. All right. This is a pretty easy win for the Ryback, and that was that. They did the contract signing, which was the John Cena-Seth Rollins promo, which we both thought was really good. They did a tag match, New Day and versus Lucha Dragons versus Los Matadores versus Primetime Players. Lucha Dragons got the win. I don't know why they did this match here, and it was very short. It was under 3 minutes. So I think they had to keep this short because the previous segment went really long. Sasha Banks against Nikki Bella, which we already talked about. And then after that, they did the main event segment with Lesnar and Taker. So I don't know. I mean, I thought it was fine. I'm not more excited about SummerSlam following this show, but I don't think I'm any less excited about it. I'm still scratching my head a little bit about the final segment on the show.
I'm scratching my head about the final show and the entirety of the final show. You had a few weeks of really good television with Raw recently. Raw, we were talking about this for the last 3 weeks. Raw has been fairly entertaining. very consistent, and put together some entertaining segments and entire shows with consistent storylines. This week, it felt like a major step back, and I was worried about it from the first segment when Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, your two heel authority figures, I thought, came out and basically tried to pimp out this card. It didn't feel real. It didn't feel genuine. It didn't feel authentic. And from there, it was just a bunch of matches with a couple of good segments, the John Cena segment, and I liked the last segment. But overall, the card just felt like filler. And that's not – you want some momentum heading into your biggest show of the year. So I was disappointed by the entire show. Not that it was terrible. It was very watchable, and it was good in spots, but the pacing was all off, and it just felt lackluster overall.
It was predictable for the most part. For the most part, I think it was. And that's not bad necessarily, but let me ask you this, okay?
Okay.
Just talking WWE, taking Ring of Honor out of the equation and any other promotion. Okay, what are you more excited about? NXT TakeOver or WWE SummerSlam?
I think that ladder match at TakeOver is going to be phenomenal. But there's something about a big show. They have done a good job this year of making SummerSlam feel major league. And I appreciate that and I respect it. So while NXT has that hook in me and I'm super excited to be there, I still think I got to go with SummerSlam only because you have two main events. You have all this fanfare around it this year that you don't normally have. It's in Brooklyn, and I think it's going to be something different than previous SummerSlams.
I agree. I'm still more excited about SummerSlam, but I think that NXT is going to be a really good show. I think it's going to, I mean, especially when it comes to that crowd of more than 13,000 people at Barclays, which is going to be the biggest audience that NXT has ever been in front of.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty exciting. I'm still surprised, and I hope they make an appearance, that Enzo and Big Cass are not on that show, considering that being in Brooklyn, you would think these guys have got to be there. I'm still of the opinion that they're going to make their main roster debut, the Raw after SummerSlam, which is also in Brooklyn and Barclays. We'll see if I'm right. I have no idea, but it just makes a lot of sense. We'll see exactly what happens. And I hope that they're on the NXT show because, I mean, they are going to be taping a week of TV as well. So maybe that's what they're going to be on. And that's why they're not on the actual TakeOver special itself. So,
yeah. I think that's a perfect, you said it before, it's a perfect timing. That was your prediction back in the summer. And so I think we'll see him this weekend at some point.
Do you want to give some quick predictions for both NXT and SummerSlam?
Sure. What do you want to do? The top two matches in NXT or you want to run the whole card?
We'll do three.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, actually we'll do the four. I'm sorry. There's only five matches, but we'll do four. Sasha Banks against Bayley. I think we both agree Bayley is going to win here, win the championship. Blake and Murphy against the Vaudevillians.
Oh.
I'm going to say Blake and Murphy.
Okay, I was going to say the same thing. I kind of feel Blake and Murphy in this one.
Jushin Thunder Liger versus Tyler Breeze.
I'm going to go with Tyler Breeze just because I know he's your boy.
I'm definitely going for Tyler Breeze. And it makes a lot more sense. I mean, Liger doesn't need the win here. I mean, they have a good match and expect them to. That's all that really matters. But I think Breeze is going to win. And then you've got Balor against Kevin Owens for the in the ladder match of the NXT Championship. I'm not giving anything away, but there is a red herring that's out there that has led some people to believe one thing or another when it comes to this match.
Okay. Like what?
Okay. Everybody, if you don't want to hear this, earmuffs, okay? That's all I'm going to say, earmuffs.
Earmuffs, so, okay. I'm doing it.
NXT TV. No, you got to listen though, Mike.
Oh, I can still hear you. You're in my ear. I tried to cover them up, but it didn't work.
So at the NXT TV tapings they did last week, Kevin Owens walked out with the NXT championship.
Okay.
Now, is that something that's really going to happen? Is it that he stole the belt from Finn Balor? Or did he actually win it?
I don't know. A swerve, huh?
And if he won it, does that mean Kevin Owens could be back at NXT?
Also, they could have just done what TNA did and just record. Well, let's see. What did they do again? They canceled all their title matches for the pay-per-view so they wouldn't spoil the results. And instead, they taped all their title matches the show before a pay-per-view so they would. So you could do something crazy like that if you wanted to and gather some momentum, you know. Would that be bad? If Kevin Owens ended back up at NXT as the NXT champion, would that be disappointing?
Well, yes, it would, but at the same time, it's not like NXT is – I know it's developmental, but at the same time, it's not. You know, just because the work rate and everything that's involved, that it's a little notch above that for most part. But yeah, it would be disappointing. I mean, you make it to the main roster, you want to stay on the main roster unless something major happens. Like for whatever reason, a character's not working, and then it's that's a huge disappointment. Or if you need to work out the kinks because of an injury or something like that. But yeah, you don't want to take that step back. Let's talk about SummerSlam. So we've got 10 matches on the 4-hour summer spectacular that is SummerSlam. So let's talk about these matches. Let's give some
Okay, let's do it.
And we're going to have predictions also on BetweenTheRopes.com. So let's probably change all of our predictions between now and then.
Dawtrick.
Dolph Ziggler's taking on Rusev. I'm going to say Ziggler. Yeah, I'm going to say Ziggler. I'm going to say Ziggy, baby. Team Bella, Team Bad, PCB, three-team elimination match.
PCP, PC whatever, the one that's not the drug, that's the Divas one, that's the one.
God, it's so awkward to say that. I felt bad for Charlotte even saying that. Watch, she does not look comfortable when she's talking on that show. It's like she's walking on eggshells right now. I agree with you. I was going to say the same thing, so damn you, we're on the same page. Kevin Owens against Cesaro. I'm going to say Cesaro gets
the Cesaro.
Dang, you beat me to it.
Stop it. I said it first. I thought it first. It's the delay on the internet. It's not my fault.
Stephen Amell and Neville against Stardust and King Barrett. Amell and
Stephen
Neville.
Stephen
Amell.
Beat you. No. Oh, what did you think about King Barrett? He's not King Barrett anymore. He's King Cosmo or something like that. Right?
He's Cosmo Kramer.
Cosmo Kramer. That's him. He's going to give us a tour on Friday. Saturday.
Yeah, we're doing the Seinfeld tour. It'll be great. We're going to go get a nice bowl of soup at Mindy's and, you know, get some Ovaltine.
You go get a big salad. That's what I want. I want a big salad.
I want a big salad. You had to get the big salad.
I don't kill your flow.
Let me ask you this. Does Amell get the pin?
I don't know.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. Neville does.
I said last week I thought that Neville did, but I don't know. Amell, I'm feeling better about Amell.
Do you feel bad about Stephen Amell knowing that he cracked his face while lifting weights and he bit off a chunk of his tongue and he nicked up his jaw pretty good?
I never feel bad for Amell because if you look that good, things...
You have a crush on Stephen Amell.
God, I do, man. He's a superhero.
Did you hear him talking after he got injured and he did a Facebook thing? And he was like, hey, everybody, I feel sorry. I'm sorry about this. I normally sound a lot better, but I got hurt a little bit. And, you know, but I'll be ready for WWE SummerSlam.
I just think it's so – he's an impressive individual. He's a fun TV star, plays a fun character, and I love the fact that he's embracing his WWE fanboyism in wrestling on Sunday.
I want to see him, John Morrison, and Seth Rollins compete in parkour.
Ooh, that could be fun. That'd be fun.
Throwing down the gauntlet. They've got the tag team match, Fatal 4-Way at SummerSlam. Primetime players are Los Matadores, Lucha Dragons, and The New Day. In other words, the match that we saw on Raw. But actually longer, I think. I'm going to say The New Day.
Oh, okay. Clapping your way to the top there, Fritzy.
You know it.
I would love to see Lucha Dragons win this. Probably not going to happen. Got to go with primetime players.
Freebird rules are in effect, right? Freebird rules.
Always for the New Day. Always.
Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper against Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. See, here's the thing about this match. I'm going to say the heels actually win this. I'm going to say Wyatt and Harper because I think maybe by next month's pay-per-view, and I don't know this for a fact, but maybe by then Eric Rowan could be back. So I think they're going to bring it back. So the heels are going to win here.
Okay. I'll agree with you.
And let me ask you this. Is there a chance Sting appears on this pay-per-view?
I doubt it. It's too crowded.
Do you think that he appears at next month's pay-per-view?
I have no idea. Maybe. You can generate some interest. Let's do it.
I think you could. Ryback, Big Show, The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship.
Ryback. Big Show has a chance at it, but Ryback.
I am going to go totally against the grain. I'm going to say The Miz.
Yes, that's right. You are.
The Miz is going to steal
former World Heavyweight Champion, WWE Champion, The Miz. He beat John Cena at WrestleMania.
He did.
How many people can say that?
I was there. Randy Orton against Sheamus. I'm going to say Sheamus. Orton. I don't know.
Right. Trust me.
Rollins against John Cena. If I really had to take a stab at this, just between those two, I would say Cena. But I like my idea of Sheamus getting involved here and cashing in. But he doesn't win, but he gets pinned and it ends the match, and that means each guy keeps their belt. Oh, I'm sorry.
If I were a
championship, they don't have belts. I'm sorry.
No belts. They don't wear belts. If I were a betting man, my money would go on Cena. But since I'm not, I'm going with Cena.
Mm-hmm. You gonna do the celebration Santino style afterwards?
What's he doing these days?
He's running his school up in Canada. He's got a training school.
What's he teaching people?
Wrestling,
trombone,
air trombone, wrestling and MMA.
Nice.
And yeah, maybe judo. Because he has a background in that. And then, well, of course, we've got Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker in the rematch. Okay. You know, before tonight, I thought all along that Taker was going to win this match. I think I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go. I mean, to me, I wanted to see Lesnar win all along, but I just thought that WWE mentality would be Taker wins it. But I'm going to say Lesnar now. Brock maybe Lesnar. I'm reading into it way too much.
But, Brock Lesnar it is.
Yeah, and see, this is another one where you can look at it like, yes, Taker did the heel aspect, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Brock Lesnar is a babyface. It doesn't also mean he's a heel. He's just Brock Lesnar. He's a unique entity. And that's the whole thing we're talking about. What do they really have babyfaces and heels in a lot of different things? Sometimes they really do. It's very defined. There are other times, depending on the audience and other factors, where they don't necessarily.
Yep, Brock Lesnar it is. I agree. I think we're both reading into it a little bit too much, but I think that's part of the intrigue of this show is that it's kind of open-ended. Kind of like that.
Let's get to a couple questions. I know Matt is in the chat room, and he was saying, what does ESPN hosting SportsCenter at SummerSlam mean for WWE? What does it say about the state of the company, either for WWE or even ESPN? I think for ESPN, I think it means clicks. It means views because there is an interest in big events. They saw the buzz that they got from doing some coverage for WrestleMania. They want to get that buzz. That's why Brock Lesnar is waking up early in the morning, and he will be doing Mike and Mike probably on set, which means that he is on the red eye. He's probably flying right now. And he is going to Bristol, Connecticut. So he'll be on with Mike and Mike in the morning. And at 9 a.m., he's going to be on SportsCenter. So I don't know if he's going to do the whole car wash. And that is the car wash for radio jargon is when somebody is at ESPN campus all day and they do like every interview known to man, that's called the car wash. So I don't know if he's doing that, but he's obviously making at least these two appearances. And to plug it, Jonathan Coachman is going to be doing part of SportsCenter from outside the Barclays Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. And is he also doing it after SummerSlam as well?
I think so, but it was kind of unclear.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're obviously doing some coverage here because, you know, they were getting attention. I mean, hell, we didn't know this, and we told the story, but last year we were at WrestleMania earlier this year. We didn't know because we didn't watch SportsCenter until the next morning that they actually did a recap package like it was, you know, a baseball game or a football game or whatever. They did an actual recap package of the main event of WrestleMania, which was highly entertaining, say the least, especially with Rollins cashing in. And I assume they're going to do the same thing here, you know. And I guess 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, we're going to have to do a little run-in on the coach outside of Barclays.
I think what it means is that, first off, everything is becoming everything. And what I mean by that is ESPN, while for so long has drawn this hard line in the sand about sports and real sports, that is being softened very quickly because they realize how popular some of these other fringe sports are. You already see them doing documentaries about former athletes, things like that. So I think this is a natural evolution of what ESPN has been doing, and it's one of the areas ESPN can grow in. They've already touched on so many sports. How do they stay relevant? Well, you partner with the biggest fake sport in the world. Okay.
Oh, did you just use that word?
In quotes, if you're listening on the radio,
that's the whole thing, man. I mean, people are watching us right now, but later they're only going to be able to hear us, and they're not going to be able to hear those air quotes.
Oh man, oof, good thing you saved me there. Well, if you're listening on the radio, or whatever they call the podcast. Kids call it these days, the pod radio. If you're listening on the radio pod, I said fake with little finger quotes around it, so don't worry.
Randy Savage might call it the radio scope because it was the video scope that he talked into.
But I think it also means WWE's kind of reached this spot of critical mass in the eyes of pop culture and popularity. Not that they're the most popular thing in the world, but they're a well enough known brand now that they've earned a spot on big league TV like ESPN. God, we need to go to bed, man. My words are not working right now. So I think it's good for
in the middle of the night and the time of the night, man. You are having some problems here, Chico.
It's the start of a good country song. Between the middle of light and the time of the night. Like an ad for their product. Okay, but I'm just saying, like, WWE has wanted to be in this public pop culture sphere for so long. And they went public back in the early 2000s. This is where they've wanted to be, and they've reached it. So good on them, too.
But isn't it kind of weird that we sit here and we talk about they're in the public eye more than they've been in a long time, especially because of social media, right? But at the same time, the numbers for Raw are lower and lower. Part of that is just because this oversaturation of other television. There's so many different things that people can watch with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of channels and plus on demand. And, you know, if you want to watch some Netflix, Hulu Plus, all these different things. But at the same time, their numbers are not holding up against other programming. But yet, we sit here and say they are a bigger part of pop culture. But that's because of their impact and their influence that they have right now on things like Twitter and especially on YouTube as well.
Yeah, I think we're looking at this, again, through somewhat of a dated lens. That ratings are going down for Raw and it is struggling creatively. But I think where it matters. And at the end of the day, they got some pretty big TV rights fees from USA, for Raw, for SmackDown. But where it really matters in the long run is what happens on the network, what's happening on these big shows, and are people buying in to the brand as a whole? And I think that's still happening. I think we analyze ratings week by week. We analyze these Raws because we're into it. But casual people who know the brand, it's like casual UFC fans, they don't order every single pay-per-view. They watch the big shows with Ronda Rousey or whoever else. I think that's where WWE is really winning over some people right now, and I think that's good.
Well, that's why they desperately want to get Ronda Rousey back in there, you know, and I don't think she's going to be at SummerSlam, but maybe. Now, Hell in a Cell is going to be in Los Angeles, I believe. So maybe that's a Ronda Rousey appearance. And you know what? I know Dana White kind of shut that down in the past, but hey, never say never when it comes to could she actually be involved in WrestleMania next year? And that's that would be enormous if WWE can get Ronda Rousey because of the amount of interest on her right now. Her stock has gone up so dramatically. And it's funny because so this last fight she has, okay, the show actually was an hour longer when it comes to that UFC event that most people expected. So she didn't fight till after 1 a.m. on the East Coast. She fought Betch Correa, a fighter that most people have never heard of. But nobody doubted that Ronda was going to win, and for good reason. And they wanted to see how quickly did she win. How did she win? She won by knockout in 34 seconds. that show is going to probably be around a million buys, if not more, based on people wanting to see Ronda Rousey and just the amount of attention that's on her right now. The spotlight is on her in such a huge, huge manner. And it's incredible just the phenomenon that she's become. And of course you want to saddle up next to that if you can. WWE is already trying to get in business with her earlier this year when she was big, but now she's just, you know, a supernova.
Well, and the whole thing about it is people can doubt that Dana White's going to let her do it and make all these assumptions about what's happening over there. Dana White will never let this happen. What's he going to do if Ronda Rousey really wants to do it? And if Ronda Rousey says, I'm going to do this at some point, Dana White's got to relent or he's going to lose one of his biggest star, the biggest star in MMA, who is a movie star as well. Dana White's not going to let that happen. I think she has enough bargaining power in her corner right now that if she wants to be at WrestleMania, she will be.
So let's wrap this up here, but a couple of quick plugs. Thanks again to everybody that supports us on Patreon. If you could do that, if you're willing to do that, if you like what we do and you want to support us in that manner, go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's something I truly believe in. There is a ton of content out there. We know that. And we appreciate everybody that listens to us. And if you value what we do and you want to make sure we keep doing it, please support us. Please support the people and the products that you value, that you enjoy. And the best way to do that is to help us out. We got to pay bills. We have other jobs, but we want to do more Between the Ropes. And we've got to make money as well. So if you can support us, even for as little as a dollar a month, it goes a really, really long way in helping us out. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes and you can support us there. And a special thanks to Matthew, who is supporting us. He's in the chat room right now, but he also just pledged $15, which is huge. That goes a long way. And we really, really appreciate it, Matthew. His last name is, I think it's Meow. Now, mind you, I could go Super Troopers and say Meow. And then we could, you know, mix in Meow for everything we're going to say. What do you got to do about that, Meow? But thank you, Matthew. We really appreciate it. And like I said before, if you can check us out, if you can support us, if you're able to, just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. We are going to be, Michael and I, we are going to be in Brooklyn this weekend covering all the events. We'll be covering the 2K event that's coming up on Thursday night where maybe we'll meet a little Stone Cold. But we will be covering that, even though we cannot report on anything from that until early next week.
So can we do the interviews? I signed that non-disclosure agreement. Can we post the interviews?
I'll have to ask about that. I think we cannot. I think we'll have to wait until Monday about that.
So there's no urgency. Like, it won't be like WrestleMania where we were filming and copying and editing while we were filming and doing all that.
We can have everything ready, but we can't release it until Monday.
Okay.
I think that's the way it's going to work. But, you know, we'll figure it out. So we'll be covering that event. Then there's other events that are going on during the days. You never know who we might run into when it comes to WWE things. And then also on Saturday, we'll be at the NXT show. And maybe we'll have some stuff from that as well. And on top of that, we will be at SummerSlam on Sunday. And, in fact, we are trying to figure out the best way, if possible, where we can do a live broadcast right after the show, which we're working on and hopefully we'll be able to do. It might be a little bit later than like immediately following SummerSlam. It might be like midnight on the East Coast, only because we got to find our way back to the hotel. And there's going to be a lot of people around and we've got to get our transportation. So we'll see what time we can do that. But we're going to try to make that happen rather than wait. So be on the lookout.
I'm doing a live broadcast during the show on Periscope, the entire show. So watch me on Periscope. I'm at The Real Wiseman on Twitter. And on that note,
you're gonna be on Periscope throughout SummerSlam.
The entire show, 4 hours of at The Real Wiseman on Twitter, on Periscope, live, opinionating.
That's
whatever you want to call it.
Would that be the longest Periscope ever?
You're right. It will be. It will be. It's record breaking. That's what's happening at SummerSlam. Records will be broken.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. So, say it.
On that note.
You can follow
us on that note
on Twitter. It is at Between the Ropes. And of course, you can find us on Facebook. And while you're right here on YouTube or later on YouTube, You can, of course, subscribe to us. Make sure you immediately get these as soon as we put them out. And you can also like us and please share them with anybody and everybody out there. Of course, we will have this also on a regular podcast, which you can subscribe to, whether it's on iTunes or on Stitcher. You can just look us up or you can go to BetweenTheRopes.com and we've got the buttons right there where you can easily do that as well. And of course, like I've said before, please, please support us on Patreon as well. So that will do it. We appreciate everybody for joining us, staying up late with us following Raw tonight. Like I said, we'll be around for SummerSlam and keep it to BetweenTheRopes.com. We'll have some predictions going up there as well. And we'll see if we actually change our minds between now and then, which we have every right to do, by the way. So,
which I will.
Yes. So he's Michael Wiseman. I'm Brian Fritz. Thanks again for joining us right here. We're Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.